Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Do you really know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? This is the message for this morning. And so I'm going to ask you to turn to your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, we're going to read verses 6 through 13, and then we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way. Allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Once again, I've entitled this morning's message, Do You Really Know Jesus? So let's go there to 1 John chapter 5, and let's read verses 6 through 13. And it reads, This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, capital S, Holy Spirit, who bears witness because the Spirit is truth. Say that with me. The Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Amen? Verse 8. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Did you catch that? The witness of God is greater. It will always be greater than men. Can I get an amen? Amen. So no matter what man says, God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us what? Eternal life. And this life is in his what? Son. Praise God. There you go. That's Jesus calling. Verse 12. He who has the Son has what? Life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's clear. That's very clear. So you must have the Spirit of God living inside, being born of God through a heart of repentance in order to say, yes, I am a son of God by faith. Can I get amen? Look at verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have what? It's all about eternal life. It's all about spending eternity with Jesus. How many of you want to spend eternity with Jesus? Or you like it down here better? And that you may what? Continue to believe. And the King James believeth. Meaning it's an ongoing belief. It never ends. You believe until he comes for you. Can I get amen? It's believeth in the name of the Son of God. So I ask this question. Who is God? And what is he like? So if someone were to ask you, what do you believe in? Do you have an answer ready to give them the hope that lies within you? So the hope that lies within you, can you explain to an unbeliever or maybe a baby Christian what salvation is all about? Why Jesus came? Let me just say this. These little children that went to Sunday school, they will know within a few weeks who Jesus is, a much more clear. Oh, yes, because the Bible says a child cannot err in it. It's us adults that fall into pitfalls, and we're easily led away. astray. So, my friend, some people imagine him as a loving grandfather in heaven waiting to just bless them, while others think he's a harsh judge sitting on his throne ready to pour out punishment. That's what I used to think. When I was a kid, I was about 9 years old, and we had a Bible on our coffee table that looked like the size of a suitcase. And it had a whole bunch of coffee stains on it, right? It was part of the furniture. One day, I remember I opened it up. I just wanted to see what was in it. And I saw a giant hand out of nowhere. Bam, and slammed it shut. It was my oldest sister, Liz. She goes, "Don't read that." I go, "Why?" "God's mad at us." "He is." I never read it again. I didn't know any better. Until God came into my life at the age of 30. Then I found out that he's madly in love with me. Can I get amen? He's madly in love with you. Did you know that he's been pursuing you since you were conceived in your mother's womb? And he constantly pursues you. Why? Because his best interest that he has is his creation. And we are the highest created beings on this planet. Never think that you're equal with the animals. Wrong. So, there are also people who don't even believe God exists because they want to live as they please rather than in obedience to his divine authority. Did you catch that? But however, saints, the only way to truly know God and his attributes, you got to understand God has attributes, meaning he has a character. It's already lined up with the Word of God. But if you're not studying the Word of God, you won't know his attributes. You won't know his character. You won't know how he operates. You need to understand that he operates in a loving manner toward us. I hope you know that. Everything he did was to come to this earth to save us from our sin, because we could not save ourselves. Can I get amen? And so we need the grace of God. We need God's mercy. And the only way to know God and his attributes is to rely on the descriptions found in the Word of God and to establish a personal relationship with him. And so, look at this up here. The born again is through true repentance. Say that with me. True repentance. Amen. Look at the Word of God. It says in Romans 8:11, it says here, "But if the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead," now look at this, "dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you." See, here's the key. Once you become born again and you have the Spirit of God living in you, when Jesus comes again, he will raise us up and meet him in the clouds, because the Spirit of God is living inside you. That's the only way you're going to go up, is having the born again Spirit of God living inside you. Can I get an amen? And so, my friends, the word quicken is used in the King James Version of the Bible, and it means revive or make alive. This is what God does. He quickens us. Just imagine. Let me ask you this question. You ever were messing around with an electric cord and for some reason something shocked you? It was either a loose wire or a spark and it shocked you, right? So something happened at that moment. It like, whoa, wait a minute. I felt something here. Well, God quickens our dead spirit and makes us come alive. And it's through faith. It's a sudden thing. Bam, he quickens you. And when he quickens you, guess what he does? He gives you a heart of repentance, because the unregenerated person, in other words, a person that has no knowledge, has no Spirit of God, he quickens you to turn to him. And then now you see the cross. And then he allows you to embrace him. It's all God. It's all God. And there's a lot of people out there that refuse to believe that it is God who initiates. Can I get amen? Amen? He quickens our mortal body. Oh, yes, he does. Look what it says here. In 2 Corinthians. Now, I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to what? Repentance. There's nobody crying over their sin anymore. Oh, yeah, I'm just going to come. Yeah, bless me, Lord. But wait a minute. Godly sorrow is what leads to repentance. Look at this. But that your sorrow led to repentance, for you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us and nothing. For godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. What does that mean? You know what that means? That means that, oh, I'm just coming anyway, and I'm just going, oh, thank you, God, and you turn around and walk away, and that person still lives like the devil because there has not been any internal change because there was no sorrowfulness for their sin. Listen, when I came to God and the custodian led me to the Lord, I couldn't stop crying. I was crying for almost an hour, just weeping and whip, and God was showing me my sin. And I knew right that then and there that all my life I was walking in error, doing my own thing. And God had to show me my sin. It's God who shows you your sin. And once he quickens you, then he allows you to come this way. Look at this. In Romans 10:9, but if you confess with your mouth that Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can I get an amen? Look at that. That's all God right there. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Man, there's some things that we need to cough up. Can I get an amen? Oh, yes. And every one of us has certain things that you don't have that I have, and I have some things that you don't have. But guess what? It's all the same. Confession unto God. Look at verse 11. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, meaning us Gentiles and the nation of Israel, the Jews. For the same Lord is over all and is rich to all who call upon him. Look at that. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall what? Be saved. You see, how many know what was the first sermon preached in the book of Acts? Can I see a hand? This one right here. And look at the order. Did you know that God is a God of order? Or is he a God of disorder? No, God's a God of order. And look what he wrote. This is Peter who denied Jesus three times. He ran from a little girl. But then he got filled with the power of God when the Holy Ghost filled all 120 in the upper room in Jerusalem. When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, it came on a feast day. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission means forgiveness of sins. And then it says, you might. I hope. I'll think about it. Look for a text. I'll email you. No, it doesn't say that. It says you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. So God has an order. And in order to understand all this, you really got to know him. Can I get an amen? Because if you know him, you know how he operates, how he works, what he expects from our life as obedient children of God. That we wouldn't fall back in the errors of our old ways. That we would walk in the power and the grace of God and the anointing of God. How many of you believe that God wants to bless your life? That's right. He wants to bless every one of us, right? Well, guess what? It's the knowledge of God that causes us to understand where we're at with him. You got to remember, it's we that come alongside him and walk with him. And he's always there to walk with us. Can I get amen? Amen. So look at this. A right understanding of God is essential because it has eternal ramification And it's knowing God's attributes. This is the problem that people have nowadays, is they don't understand how God operates. How many of you want to know how God operates? If you understand how God operates, now we can line up to his will, not his will lining up to our will. Because we want to fumble the ball. We will mess it all up. I hope you know that. But God's a loving God. He wants us, hallelujah, to understand and to know who he is. So look what it says here in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. There's no excuse. Man can't say, there ain't no God. Oh yeah, look again. Look at the sun that rises every morning. Look at the moonlight in its full season, full monthly season. Look at the ocean that doesn't overtake the land. Look at the food and the water that he allows us in the air to breathe. Those things are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, so that they are without excuse. Man, I'm telling you, there is no excuse. We could come up with all kinds of isms and schisms, but we cannot trick God. Can I get an amen? Saints, to deny his existence is to suppress the truth and bring ultimate disaster upon ourselves. We all have convictions that govern our lives, and being certain about God's identity should be one of them. Now, a conviction is being so thoroughly convinced of the absolute truth of something that we are willing to take a stand for regardless of the consequences. So there are things that I stand with God that I don't care if a person laughs or mocks me. And we live now in a woke culture. We live now in a progressive culture. We live now where sin that just totally abounds now, but the grace of God much more abounds. Can I get amen? Amen. Oh, that's right. When we are convinced that God's word is true, we have a sure foundation for our convictions about God. And so let's look at some of the things that we need to understand this morning. And hopefully you will apply it. Now, you could always go back to the website. You could always go back to YouTube and write these down. And they're there for your learning, for your understanding, for reference, to pointing back to the word of God. Can I get an amen? So one of the things that you have to understand, and this is what the little kids learn in Sunday school, God is an uncreated being. No one created God. He was always there. He's been there from the beginning. He'll be there in the end. He was there before the world was formed. He was there before he spoke the whole entire universe into existence. God was always there. He existed before the beginning of time, and he is the creator of heaven and earth. Praise God. And how are you going to learn that? If you got to read God's word. It's in the word. Oh, show me that, preacher. Right here in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's all right there, right? Look at this. Even King David understood this. In Psalms 90:2, look at this. It reads this. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. In other words, he existed before things he spoke into existence. He was always there. Praise God. Now, he's not only uncreated, he's unchangeable. You see, we like to form our fashion and have our life and asking God to mold his attributes according to us. In other words, this generation right now, as I mentioned, is the woke generation. So we're supposed to conform the image of God to our conformness, meaning we're supposed to now. And it's crept into the church. to conform to this current culture right now. I'm here to let you know that God is unchangeable. I hope you know that. If God called out certain things in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, it means that he does not change his mind. Can I get amen? And let me just say this. The American flag, he doesn't drape over his shoulders. I hope you know that. One day he will judge this nation harshly. And there is a judgment coming. And God is preparing his church to get right before him. Oh, yes, it is. People don't like to talk about that. But look what it says in Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you are sons of Jacob and not consumed. Aren't you so blessed that even in our transgression, God did not consume us? In other words, he didn't stamp us out. It was his grace and his mercy and his love that brought us to a place of repentance. Jesus said this, Jesus Christ is the same what? Yesterday, today, and forevermore. Praise God. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed to know that God changes not. Aren't you so blessed that he doesn't change with the culture? Oh, you know what? I don't believe what I wrote that down anymore. Go ahead and conform to the culture. I'm sorry. Saints, what a comfort it is to know that the Lord's perfection, purposes, and promises never alter. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that? Even if he has given us a promise in his word, we can be certain that he will never change his mind. You know that old saying, oh man, did you ever receive a gift from someone and then all of a sudden they want it back? And then what was that old thing that we used to say? Oh, you Indian giver. Where did that come from? I don't know where that came from, but it was one of those moments. Oh, here, take it back. What God gives us, he won't take back. The Bible says that the gifts and repentance and everything that he has given us, he will not take back. Can I get an amen? He won't repent over that. In other words, if he called you to preach and you fall apart, the gift is still upon you. Can I get amen? He doesn't take that back. He's patiently waiting for you to get right. And then he'll use you again. Now, did you know this? That God is omnipresent. What does that mean? He's everywhere where? He's everywhere at once. Can I get amen? So he's with you at home. He's with you on the job. I remember I just got saved. I was working in the lumberyard at Western Lumber, filled with the Holy Ghost. And then there was two other brothers that I brought them to church. They got baptized. They got filled with the Holy Ghost. So all three of us, we used to be in an open yard. There was like 60 men. And when God would touch us with his spirit, we would yell across the lumber yard, I'm getting zapped right now. And people would look at, man, what kind of drug are they on? But the presence of God was falling on us, even in the lumber yard. And let me just say this. One time, in the nail shed, there's a shed and it had all the plated nails because I worked in the truss yard. I built trusses. For one moment, I didn't feel his presence, and I started weeping. Oh, God, I don't feel your presence anymore. And then all of a sudden, bam, he just ignited. And then God showed me this. When you're a brand new Christian, like an infant, like a baby infant, like a natural infant, the moment it'll sense that the mother is not in the presence, it'll start crying. Oh yeah, that baby will cry for his mama. Well, we're no different. We start crying for his presence. I was crying for his presence. I wanted to be in his presence. I thought he left me, and he never left me. But that's a kind of relationship I was establishing with him, to always be in his presence. Thank you, God. This means that God is present everywhere. We don't have to search and find him. In fact, we can never get away from his presence. No matter what we face, he is with us. Can I get amen? Amen. Look at King David wrote. King David wrote this: where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. What? He's everywhere. Look at this in verse 11. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. No matter what situation you're in, the light of God, the grace of God is always with the child of God. Can I get amen? Praise God. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide me from you, but the night shines as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike to you. So in other words, it doesn't matter where you're at, no matter how dark the situation is, he will reach down and pull you out of it. How many love to know that God is there with us always? Amen. Now, he's also this. He's omnipotent. You know, what does that mean? That's right. Someone's reading their Bible over here. He's all powerful. He's all powerful. Look at this. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. Look at this. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust, and he lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princesses and make them inherit the throne of glory. What? You can find yourself in one of those categories, and God has reached down and he has lifted us up. We were once dead in transgressions and sins, and God has lifted us up. And now we're going to be with him in glory. How many are so blessed to know that? That's right. We're going to be with him in glory despite of our predicament of life. Praise God. See, God has all power. I hope you know. How many believe that God has all power? And no matter what situation you're in, always remember this: with God, all things are possible. Say that with me. With God, all things are possible. However, saints, the Lord never acts in a manner that is inconsistent with his nature. For instance, he cannot lie or be tempted by evil, because his absolute is goodness, perfection, and truth. That's God Almighty. Look at what it says right here in Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. So God cannot lie. When he came to save us, he's going to keep us to the very end. Can I get amen? Amen. This is what I love about God. He won't take back what he said to us. His promises are yes and amen. Oh, yes, God. Thank you, God. Now, look at this. He's omniscient. What does that mean? What does that mean? All-knowing. He knows all things. So you can't trick God. And guess what? He knows our trickery. He knows when we're trying to hide something, huh? Oh, yes, he does, because he looks right in our heart. Aren't you so, this is what I love about God. What I love about God is this, that no matter what I try to hide from him, he sees it already. So there's no reason to run. Here it is, Lord.
There you go.
Here it is, Lord. You see it already. You saw it before I did it, God. Yeah. Isn't that something? You can't get around him. This is what I love about, when you start learning his attributes and how he operates, then you will have confidence to know, man, Lord, you've allowed me to walk with you in glory. I don't have to be that old person no more. The Bible says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Thank you, God. God has complete knowledge about everything, including past, present, and future events. Can I get amen? Oh, yes, he does. And although we might want him to share his knowledge with us, as finite beings, we are incapable of comprehending the infinite and the vastness of God's mind. He knows so much beyond us. We're just scratching the surface and getting to know him. But the Bible says when we see him face to face, we will be like him. How many are so blessed to know that we will be like him? Thank you, God. We will have his mind. We will have his attribute. We'll have everything he has. He will have given it to us, and we'll have that brand new body like him. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us. So those things that are revealed in his word are for you and I. But there's some secret things he will not share with us until we see him face to face. Praise God. So you know what? Don't try to figure him out. Just believe who he is. Can I get an amen? And roll with it. Roll with him. Man, he just wants you to say, come along me, child of God. Because I will show you great and mighty things to come. That's right. And so God doesn't satisfy all of our curiosity. Thank God he doesn't. But he has revealed what he desires us to know in his word, as I just mentioned. And if we can't find an answer in scripture, we can leave our concerns with him. Can I get amen? Don't go to someone, what do you think? Well, they'll give you an opinion, but they won't give you certainty. Trusting in his infinite knowledge and wisdom is what he is teaching us to do. And you got to remember this, God is invisible. Okay, one of the things that I can honestly say, why I know God is invisible, because if you walk outside, you can feel the wind hitting your face, right? But can you see the wind?
No.
You can feel the wind, but you can't see the wind. Well, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he comes in different directions. You can't see him coming, and bam, he comes right inside you. It's like, where did this come from? And when he comes inside you, he brings you joy unspeakable and full of glory. Man, the corners of your mouth will light up like, man. And the anointing comes to destroy the yokes in your life. See, only God can destroy those things in your life. Thank God for the AA, there's 12-step AA programs. They're okay. But with Jesus, all you need is one step. Can I get amen? One step to God. Look what it says right here in 1 Timothy. Which he will manifest in his own time. He who is blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has what? Immortality, dwelling in the unapproachable light, which no man has seen or can see. To him or to whom be honor and everlasting power. The power is there, but we can't see it. But he will reveal himself face to face when he comes for his church. The Bible says we will know him, who he is. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see him. Because when I see him, I'm going to throw myself at his feet and say, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for not destroying me. Thank you that when I lived a rebellious life, you didn't destroy me and stamp me out. You had grace and mercy toward me. And you saved my household. But God's grace, my children and my grandchildren are serving the Lord. Why? Because I said, God, I will bring them to the house of God. You saved me, God. I will do all that I can to raise them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Oh, God, I want to instill righteousness in them. I want to bring them to the house of God. I want to see you, God, do mighty, great, and awesome things. And now my grandson is leading his youth worship team there in Arkansas. My granddaughter is singing with them on the youth team. My goodness. And so you know what I had to do? Because his piano that someone gave him, it broke down and some keys were missing. I said, no. He had one in 3 days so that he can continue and worship God. That's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. Look at this, Colossians 1:15. He is the image of what? The invisible God. The God firstborn of all creation. He's the God as alive and well, but you just can't see him right now. He's the invisible God that loves you and I, but his power, his anointing is all upon us. Aren't you so blessed? And saints, although Jesus was visible as God in human flesh, no human being other than Christ has seen the Father. Paul described him as the only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has ever seen and will never see until we see him face to face. Now, here's an attribute that we can honestly say. The Bible says you and I now are seated in heavenly places, meaning he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. As a born-again child of God, what I understood now, and I still understand now, and this will never change within me, is that God is love. He loves you. And he'll do everything he can to save a man and woman from going to hell. Hell's a real place. Did you know that Jesus talked about hell more than he did heaven? This is why Jesus came, to save us from that horrible place. He came to save us from hell. Because when Jesus comes finally to destroy the works of the devil, guess what? Guess what's going to be cast into the lake of fire? The Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan himself, and all those who rejected the love of God. See, God cannot do this to you. My dad, when we were kids, you know, it was time to go down to Tijuana to get a haircut. And we didn't want to get haircuts, man. You know, we were just little kids. And so my dad used to grab us by our ears and pull us just like that. Well, guess what? God don't pull you by your ears to come to him. Can I get an amen? He don't. He loves us to the cross. He shows us great mercy. He gives us that heart to repent. And then we turn, we see the cross and we embrace it. We say, oh God, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Look at this in 1 John. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. Why? Because God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God. And God in him. Isn't that something? God is living inside of us, the love of God. And so I wake up every morning. I praise the Lord. I say beautiful things to my wife. Why? Because God's inside. He abides in me. There's nothing negative that will come out. Why? Because if the love of God is living inside, what will come out is the loving things of God. Because he will consume your life with his attributes, his love, his grace, his mercy. This is not just what he does, but who he is. Why? Because love is an essential aspect of his nature. This is all about his attribute. This is all about his nature. The ultimate expression of his love for us was the act of sending his only begotten son to die on a cross for you and I. This is why this famous scripture is all over the world. You know, before I got saved, I used to say, man, right before they kick a field goal, someone, John 3:16, what does that mean? I wasn't saved. But there was someone at the end zone always putting up John 3:16. So then when I got saved, I knew what it was now. For God so loved the world that he gave his only, what? Begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. That's how much he loves his creation. But Jesus is clear on one matter here. He said, broad is the path to destruction, and narrow is the gate to those who find everlasting life. So how do you make that in a common sense? In your big family, on your job, maybe some of you are in school. The majority of the people that surround our life, The majority of them are not saved. I hope you know that. You can tell by their language. You can tell. Because if you had the same koinonia spirit like you and they, it would be praise the Lord. God, it'd be the things of God. You'll have everything in common. But the majority of them don't know God. And Jesus was clear that broad is the way that those who fall into that. And narrow is the way. You see, aren't you so blessed that God plucked us out and put us on the narrow path? That's his mercy. Do we deserve any? We don't deserve a penny, an ounce. That was his sovereign choice to pull us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's why embrace it. When you understand what he's done, man, fall in love with him, because we were headed to hell in a handbasket. That's where we were all headed. And he saved us. Man, I'm telling you, when you start learning the depth of his love toward us, you will love him with an everlasting. You'll love him so dearly. You'll love him like anything else, no other thing on this earth. I tell my wife, you know, every now and then she tells me the same thing. You know, I love you so much, but do you know I love God more than you? I go, I know that. And I want you to love him more than me, because I can fail you. I can fail in things in life, but God will never fail you, and vice versa. So we understand where our position is in Christ, that he is the head of our family, and we submit to one another in love, and we are embraced by his love. Praise God. And you know also, a lot of people don't like to talk about this, but God is holy. Can I get amen? Amen. God is holy. And there is no darkness in him. And he does not abide in sin. Can I get amen? He came to deliver us from sin. But he is holy. Look at this. Look at King David wrote, "You answered them, O Lord, our God. You were to them God who forgives. Though you took vengeance on their deeds, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill. For the Lord God, our God, is holy." He's holy. There's many songs that are written of him. Holy, holy, holy. You know that song? Lord God Almighty. Where do they get that? From the book of Revelation. Because the angels are bowing down. Holy, holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we have to learn from that perspective. Man, God, you're a holy. Cleanse me, wash me. Lord, as I enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise, Lord, cleanse me and wash me. Forgive me. If there's any wicked thing in me, cleanse me and wash me right now, God, that I may bask in your glory. Because I want to be in his presence day in and day out. Can I get amen? There's no greater joy than to be in his presence. There's temporal things on this earth that you can enjoy. A pottery game, you know, a picnic, going out with your loved ones to dinner. Those are precious moments. But there's no greater joy to be in the presence of God. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. That's the ultimate experience, is to be in his presence, where no flesh will glory in his sight. Praise God. Thank God. Thank God. Holiness is a lifestyle to which God calls us, for which he equips us through the power of his indwelling Holy Spirit. He gives us sensitivity to sinful attitudes and actions in our lives, and he prompts us to immediately seek forgiveness from God and request his strength to turn to that particular sin so that God can deliver you from it. Because we fall into traps, even as Christians. Can I get amen? Amen. This flesh can become weak at times. We got to remember who he is in our life, and that he's the great I am. He can fix all those things that we cannot do on our strength. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And God is what? Righteous. He is the final standard of righteousness and always acts in accordance with what is right. He's right and he's just. So when he comes to judge the earth, when we're out of here, It will be his righteousness and his justice. He's just. And so it's already written in the Word of God. He's the final standard. Furthermore, righteousness and his desire for each of us, and he has given us his Spirit to enable us to do what's right. See, he empowers us to do right. Listen, before you got saved, we was all toe up from the flow up. Can I get an amen? Amen. We were. Man, some of us were hopping in and out of rooms. Some of us were doing, you know, the night thing and wee hour of the moments, you know, getting lit up. And God delivered us. He has placed his righteousness upon our unrighteousness. And now we have become the righteousness of Christ by faith. We can't be self-righteous about anything. We're at God's mercy. We're at his grace. Thank you, Lord. We should always have a heart of thankfulness. Can I get an amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Because when he takes the church out of the way, then he is a God of wrath. Did you know that he's also a God of wrath? Oh, yes, he is. He's a God of wrath. Look at this. Maybe some of you have overlooked this one scripture. It's in the book of John. But as plain as can be, look at this. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. That's us. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Wow. I'm glad God wrote it. I'm just the mailman delivering the mail this morning. The wrath of God remains on the unbeliever, the one that has rejected God. The wrath of God still abides on him. And when his last breath is taken and his eyes shut on this earth, he'll be in a place called hell. That's not the final place. That's like going to jail and they put you in, when you get arrested, they put you in a hold, there you go, a holding tank. Jesus talked about that place. You're tormented by demons and where the worm dieth not. And so there are worms, you're in torment and you're waiting for your judgment. And so at the end of the whole entire dispensation of God's grace, then he prepares the lake of fire and he tosses the Antichrist, he tosses the false prophet, he tosses Satan in there, and all these people that have the wrath of God still abiding on them, he tosses them in there too, into the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever. Wow. You're not gonna catch this message in too many places. Why? Because some preachers are afraid they will never come back. Well, if you don't come back, that's okay. I'm still gonna preach God's word. I have to give an account. I have to stand before God. Did you tell them about the wrath of God that abides on unbelievers? And what their end game will be? This is for our learning, for our edification, so that we would know without a shadow of a doubt that you and I are saved, and pray for those who do not know Jesus. Listen, you can't bring them to church. You can't beat them on the head with the Bible. The only Jesus they're gonna see is your life living right before them. Love them to the cross. And when they don't wanna come, see ya. And you come to the house of faith. Can I get amen? And continue to grow in your faith. And cause jealousy to happen in their heart. And then guess what? They'll come because God will establish a godly jealousy in their heart. They're going, man, my wife, my husband, it's all about this Jesus. And then they'll come. They'll eventually come. Can I get amen? And you got to believe God for that. Don't hate them. Don't belittle them. Don't blast them on the head. Don't take that Bible and say, man, you need to come to church. You will drive them further away than they've ever been. You know why? Because they won't see God's grace through you. They won't. So God is the God of wrath. And lastly, look at this. God is our judge. Did you know that the born-again child of God, we're not going to be judged of our sin, but we're going to be judged according to the works we've done on this earth as a child of God and the rewards that he has instilled for us. Oh, that's right. Everything we do, he accumulates this according to the account of God, his account. Look at this. For we must all appear, what? Before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And this is the child of God. Here's a quick little short story. The scene takes place in heaven. There's a giant line, million people in line, and all of them, one by one, are coming before God, coming before Christ. And there's someone getting their reward, and then the next person is this little old lady. And behind the old lady is a young kid, and he's in line saying, man, God's gonna give me this. I'm gonna have this. I'm gonna have that. I'm gonna have these mansions. And you know, the little old lady in front didn't say anything. And so it was her turn. And God had showered her with these mansions, with these things that were like, it was like an oh my gosh moment. And so this young guy who was next was turning around and telling, wait till you see what I'm getting. So it was his turn. And the Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord, and here is your gift. That's it? He goes, yeah, enjoy it. He gave him a 10-speed. And so he kind of like got on his bike, and he was in heaven. And he was riding his 10-speed. So the next day, it was on the corner of Hallelujah and Praise the Lord Lane. There was a guy standing on the corner. Say, hey, you're the one that God gave a 10-speed. Are you okay? He goes, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm so excited. And he goes, why? He goes, see that guy? And they look. Yeah, the guy on the skateboard. Who's that? He goes, that's my pastor. I had to throw that one in. Listen, whatever you do for Christ, don't boast about it. Do it because you love God. Do it because you know what he has in store for you. Do it in a spirit of meekness and gentleness and love. And do it because you love him, not because you want to be seen of people. When you want to be seen of someone, he already read that heart. Oh, you're here because you just want people to see you. No, but if you do it as a humble servant, he will lift you up. He will raise you up. Can I get amen? That's right. Because God, he's our rewarder. How many of you can't wait to see the rewards he has in store for you? Oh, yes. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another one builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Look at this. For no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Everything we do, it's going to go through the fire. and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now look at this. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. What? If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That's God's grace. So what does that mean? That means, listen, do everything in your heart for the Lord. No one needs to know what you're doing. Well, guess what, man? Guess what? Guess what I did for God? Guess what? All that's going to go through the fire. And I don't want to just go in by the tail of smoke. I just made it in. No. Walk in a spirit of humility, and God will be glorified and magnified. So in closing, are you getting something out of this?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. So in closing, God is to be worshiped. He is to be worshiped. He is the Lord of the universe, our Savior, who is worthy of all honor and glory. Our worship of him is displayed when we let his word dwell in us richly and praise him with singing from a grateful heart. Look at what it says here in Colossians. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing grace with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This worship team, I'm so blessed. Because they sing to the Lord. And we get an opportunity to enter into the courts with thanksgiving and praise through their worship. You know, they come prayed up. They come prayed up. They practice during the week. Why? So, they, you know what their desire is? Is to have a spirit of excellence upon them. For the Lord. Not for us, but for the Lord. And that's what God requires. He wants us to walk and operate in a pure heart and a heart worthy to worship the King. Look at this. But the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. This is what Jesus said to the woman at the well. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Can I get an amen? And so let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those who are here, who are listening to this message on YouTube and Facebook, that you would do an inner perspective of your heart, your life, and say, oh God, allow me to walk in your grace. Allow me to walk in your mercy. I'm praying for those who do not have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. The Bible's clear. God said, make an about face. Turn to the Lord Jesus with a heart of repentance. Be sick and tired of the way you've been living. And say, God, I want a new leash on life. I want to walk with you. I want to know my sins have been forgiven. I want to know that you have washed me in your blood by faith. If that's you right now, I'm going to lead you into a prayer. Now, let me just say this. The prayer is not mystical. It's not magical. There's no power in the prayer. It's your heart getting right with God. It's your heart turning to the Lord Jesus Christ and saying, help me, God. Save me, God. Allow me, God, to have eternal life like you have given so many. If God is calling you to a place of repentance with him, pray this prayer by faith and believe in your heart that Jesus loves you He died for you, and all you have to do is receive him by faith. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family here to pray this prayer with you. And maybe you're here. I don't know. Only God knows our hearts. Can I get an amen? We're not here to judge anyone. God already sees us in our condition, and he knows what's best for us. But pray this simple prayer, and then we're going to ask the worship team to worship the King of Kings. And if you need any personal prayer, we're here to pray for you as well. But pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening. Hallelujah. We give you the praise.